Blog Talk Radio. Those that tuned in, welcome to another episode of Sports Troopers and Bottle Talk. My name is Shalom. I am one of the teachers for the ISBHPK, Israel School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge. And you reached us this morning for what we call Friday Inspiration, or what today we're calling Friday Inspiration. What we're doing today is, as we get ready to come into this Sabbath, get ready to come into this day the day of the Most High, which, you know, every day the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. That one thing I wanted to do this morning was I woke up with the thought I want to hear from brothers, from families, from people. I would like to hear some inspiring scriptures of what gets them through the day. When you wake up in the morning, give me a. I have Brother Al Ronda here with me right now. Read for me Deuteronomy chapter 6, let's start at verse 10.
Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not.
I'm sorry, start verse 4.
Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gate. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not.
Right. So we used to always read this in street speaking as a reminder. One, hear, O Israel. That the Lord our God, the Lord is one. All right, that's what reminds to us that it's about unity. It really is about the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel unifying together, coming together as one, especially as we're in our captivities. Matter of fact, if we can hold that, Brother Aharon, if we can get Baruch, let me get it real quick. Go to the book of Baruch, chapter 2 and verse 30. Baruch chapter 2 and verse 30.
Baruch chapter 2 and verse 30. For I knew that they would not hear me, because it is a stiff-necked people. But in the land of their captivities, they shall remember themselves.
If we can read that one more time, please, sir.
Baruch chapter 2, verse 30. For I knew that they would not hear me, because it is a stiff-necked people. But in the land of their captivities, they shall remember themselves.
Right, it says that in the land of our captivities, we're supposed to do what?
Remember ourselves.
Right, in the land of our captivities, we're supposed to remember ourselves. So as we're here in the captivity of America, we're supposed to be inspired, incited, exhorted, to remember ourselves in the land of our captivity. They were supposed to remember that we are Hebrew Israelites, that we're not supposed to have this MIA, made in America mentality, that from our experiences here in America, that defines who we are, that our experience here in America is supposed to define and tell me or give me an identity of who I am, or to be searching for an identity
here in America. When the Most High gave us our identity, we are the Hebrew Israelites. That is the truth of who we are. And it's time for us coming now to learn what is the spirit, the mentality, the culture, the identity of a Hebrew Israelite. And we're supposed to be meditating on these things in the land of our captivity. We're supposed to be meditating on these things while we're here. Like, okay, so why are we here? Understand that we're the Hebrew Israelites, then why are we here? So if it's my goal or life's ambition to become the next Emmy Award-winning artist, the next Academy Award-winning artist, the next championship-winning artist or athlete, the next
Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah, okay, Nobel Peace Prize winning author or poet. What is our spirit? What is the spirit of a Hebrew Israelite? What's the spirit of a Hebrew Israelite that's serving the Most High? And not a Hebrew American who's still serving themselves while being here in America. All right? So one thing I wanted to do with this morning was come back and as a reminder that we need to exhort each other daily to continue in the faith. Matter of fact, let's get that scripture. Y'all remember when I was at? Let's get Hebrews 3:13.
Hebrews chapter 3. And verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
Right. It says, so we need to do what now?
Exhort or encourage one another daily.
Right. We need to encourage and exhort each other daily. Right. Go ahead. Each other daily.
God. While it is today.
While it's called today. While it is today. Read.
It says, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
It says that lest any of us be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That when we go to Matthew, if we link this with Matthew chapter 24 and start at verse 12.
Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold.
It tells you that if we're not, it's prophesied that as we're in these last days, and it does get closer to Christ actually making his return, the Lord and Savior actually getting back here, that the closer it gets, then there's going to be more things of people turning their hearts cold. There's going to be more things, more temptations, more situations, more problems for a person to turn selfish, for a person to question, why should I give? Why should I care? No one did this for me. No one did this. No one did that. I'm a loner. It's all about the complete American mentality of just do for self. The complete American mentality of it's a dog-eat-dog world. The complete American mentality of capitalism. How can I capitalize the most to seize the day, to use some of the Roman
carpe diem
to use some Roman or American ideology. I mean that's really used. You only live once.
Have it your way.
Have it your way. You know, with the American mindset. A person might really be thinking that, man, I have no life. There's a lot of things I want to experience in this world, and I feel like my biological clock is ticking. That's supposed to be the mentality of an Edomite. That's supposed to be the mentality of somebody so entrenched in America or the world, they should have those type of thoughts. Whereas for us as Hebrew Israelites, the mindset should be rejoicing. Then when we start to see all these things starting to happen, We're supposed to be understanding that. That means our salvation is nigh. Our salvation is near. Our salvation, the salvation of the Hebrew Israelites, is here. Now, what does that mean? As we've been going over this topic a lot recently, we know when we came out of Egypt, the riches and the wealth, the happiness, the health that the Most High blessed us with. Was not comparable to what we went through in Egypt. The benefits that we received every day. I mean, even walking through the wilderness for 40 years, he made sure we was eating every day angels' food. He made sure that, you know, we had quail for those that were given to eating flesh. That he loaded us with benefits daily. But what was the problem with our forefathers, that generation that came out of Egypt? They didn't appreciate anything. There was no appreciation for the things Most High provided daily. It became a complaint. It became a reason to quit, to not believe that the Most High gave us water out of a rock. He split the Red Sea. He says our shoes never waxed old and our feet never swelled when he delivered us out of Egypt. But there was a dissatisfaction with that generation that first came out of Egypt, with that generation that got the knowledge of salvation, experienced the Most High salvation, and then was still this feeling of being disgruntled. Shalom. Still this feeling of just being unappreciative of what the Most High granted, right, of what the Most High gave. As we're joined by a native son, what's good with it?
Everything.
Woke up this morning and got yourself a Bible, huh? Instead of a gun and shit. What verse are we at right now?
We are actually in Matthew chapter 24, and we're in verse 12.
Let's read that one more time.
And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold.
The love of many is going to wax cold. We have to be careful that our love for the work, our love for the Most High, our love for the brotherhood doesn't start to wax cold. It doesn't start to turn cold. Because of living in these times, it's going to get harder. It's going to get more, people are going to be more selfish. People are going to be less considerate. People are going to really be into themselves. I mean, it's only evident. I mean, think about it. I mean, go to a restaurant, go to a family restaurant where there's supposed to be a family meal taking place with a family. And how many people in the family got their nose stuck in a smartphone?
They even show you on the commercials. They show you the commercials for internet. Everybody is on their phone, on their whatever. You have the power now to shut off everybody's internet just so they can come to whatever you want.
Right.
Make sure you keep that shit off so they don't get caught up. Then once it's done, then you can turn it back off for the whole house.
Right.
How bad has it gotten?
That's bad.
Everybody's stuff is on pause.
Because you know everybody's going to look up like, hey, the internet's out. What's up with the Wi-Fi? I mean, it's going to be some issues and repercussions. But just in that alone, the human element, the human touch, the human interactions, is waxing cold to where, come on, now it's our communication is through emojis. Our communication is through
I can't verbally express. It's a TTY.
TTYL.
Like the shorthand of texting.
Right.
You don't even use words. You can see a person and talk to them and convey everything. I'm lazy. R. The letter.
Right.
You.
Right.
Busy.
Exactly.
And it'll be a BSY.
It's getting cold. It's getting cold. To where, again, we do so much texting, it's not even about a phone call no more. Where I can't even hear your voice.
I just miss the sound of your voice.
It's just texting.
All thumbs.
Right, all thumbs. Again, I'm just using it as an indicator not the only indicator, but as indicators where we can see where this world and this society is getting cold. This world and this society is getting cold. Where you have access to pornography at younger and younger ages.
With no censors.
With no censors. Where's the sense of
the
connection?
God. Keeping the child pure.
Keeping a relationship pure.
God.
To where now, when you have fifth graders, looking at fellatio and thinking that this is a proper relationship. How cold are things getting? Where's the connection of, do you like me? I like you. Look at each other. Learn how to read the signs of courting. Learn how to read the signs of hey, she's into you. No, she ain't. Yes, she is.
Right or left.
Yeah, you know.
Like me? Yes, no.
Exactly.
You know what, Michelle, but there was a school that they passed a rule where at school dance, if the males ask the females to dance, they have to say yes. And they
have
a big old stink about that because they're saying, well, where's the choice at, you know, in that. But it's gotten to that point where even if these proms nowadays and all these little formals, winter formals, they're going stag because they don't know how to relate to each other and they weren't taught how to talk to the other sex. So now they're going stag thinking, oh, we're just going to go and meet up as groups and be a single situation. You know?
Right, right.
No, it's Adam and Eve, not just Adam.
No doubt.
Not just Eve, you know.
And what you're saying that now, that's in high schools now. Or schools, but now look at where adults are at. Speed dating? How do you speed date?
I see you, and upon three questions, I get an impression. Yeah.
Right.
That's not enough.
I mean, so we're going to get all these adults in the room, everybody sitting in chairs, like musical chairs. And
first, bam.
Yeah.
Bam.
Switch.
You have a spark. You have that connection.
And I'm supposed to make a connection with this person in 5 minutes?
See, that's why they invented Tinder. See what you like? Meet up? Tinder is not about dating. It's not about courting. We meet up to do things. So even in where I used to be extending to another person to flower, you notice it? Take clothes off. Bye. But all the connection is there. That's why it's cold. It's like relationship is coming like a business. All right, we're going to merge in a second. Boom, we out. We doing what we doing. But those are just examples of how bad it's gotten.
Kind. It's becoming a real, very, very cold world. A very, very cold society. And we're not careful and checking things out. That we, as the disciples and students of Christ, who are trying to get up out of here, that we might get caught up into the same madness, that we'll let events cause us to get cold. We'll let events cause us to not care, to get numb. I don't want to feel. I don't want to think. I just want to be numb. We got to be careful of these things. That in these last days, these are the things that are going to be taking place. That's why it says we have to exhort each other daily to continue in the faith. We have to keep pushing each other. Give me Acts 14:22. I'm sorry, finish verse 13. We read 12, let's read 13.
We're in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12. Verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
And you know, well, if you're coming from a very cold place, you'll think enduring is, I'm still here. You're not going to make me quit. I'm still standing. But that's not, if we read in the context, that's not what we're talking about. What Christ was talking about was, is your love going to endure? Is your ability to keep giving yourself, is that going to endure? This ain't the kids game, King of the Mountain, where I've endured and I stand on top of the mountain by myself. I can do well all by myself. I can do good all by myself. That's not the endurance that Christ is talking about in the scripture. It's talking about, is your love going to endure? Is your charity going to endure? Is your giving going to endure? Is your consideration of others going to endure? Or is it going to get to the point where it's just about how you feel? It's just about what you're going through. It's just about my situation. So I'm doing whatever I can to survive. Which, again, that's just the American mentality, period. I've got to do what I got to do for me. But as far as really caring, giving, being there for anybody else, I don't have enough. I can't do it. No. That I've got to make sure I'm straight. I got to make sure I'm good. That's the world that has been created. And I can only imagine, I don't want to imagine, how much worse it's going to get. But Christ asked the question, is your love, your charity, your warmth, is that going to endure? Is that going to last in these days when everybody is turning cold? Everybody is turning to self. I know, let's get Acts 14:22. Let's get that one. And then we're going to get another one.
Acts 14:22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of the Most High.
Let's read it one more time.
Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith.
It says confirming the souls of who?
The disciples.
Is this one way you're going to be able to tell who the disciples are from what it's going to describe here in the scripture?
Yeah. Matter of fact, you know what? Let's hold Acts. Matthew 24, 12 and 13 told us what?
Matthew 24, 13 says, it says that if a love of iniquity shall abound, the hearts of many are going to wax cold. Then the scripture said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall.
Right. Let's read it one more time.
Okay. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold.
What's going to wax cold? The
love of many
is going to wax cold, right? But now we know from St. John chapter 13, verse 35, it says what? Let's get St. John chapter 13, verse 35.
St. John chapter 13, verse 35.
Mm-hmm.
By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another.
So now in the midst of a world where everybody's turning cold, in the midst of a world where everybody's doing for self, in the midst of a world where everybody is being less considerate, less appreciative, less giving, how are the disciples going to be recognized?
By the love that they have one for another.
So in the midst of, again, a cold, cruel world, how is it going to be recognized and seen who the disciples are?
If we go off of Acts 14 and 22, it says that these are the things that are going to confirm the souls of the disciples and the things that they've endured. And then with the endurance, it's not just that I'm still here, but that the love that I have for those around me doesn't get taken away or deplete or starts to lack because of, you know, I become the perfect American citizen, the Israelite American citizen. You know, I got to take care of myself. I got to take care of my needs, my wants.
Continuing the faith through the tribulations we're going to face in this world that we're in.
Yeah. The trip is, let's read the two together.
Okay.
Matthew 24, 12 and 13, and John 13, 35.
Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound,
because iniquity is going to abound. We know the synonym that I love to use for this word is what?
Opinions.
Because people's opinions are going to abound. Because people are going to be going by their own opinion. How they feel, how they think, what they perceive, what they got going on. Because of people's opinions, what's going to happen?
The love of many shall wax cold.
Their love is going to wax cold. Because they're going to be stuck in their own opinions. Because they'll be affected by the opinions of others. Well, if other people don't care, then I don't care. If other people ain't considerate, then I ain't going to be considerate. If nobody gives a damn about me, I ain't going to give a damn about nobody else. If whatever is going on, because people are following opinions. Man, you let them do that to you, man, you're a fool. Irregardless of the scripture saying, we're fools for Christ's sake. The opinion of man, why are you living like that? If you did this for yourself, if you was by yourself, look how much you would have just for you. Why are you in this community thing? Why are you in this? Why are you letting them use you? Why are you letting them play you? I thought you had a stronger mind than that. Because of people's opinions, the love of many is going to do what?
Shall wax cold.
It's going to wax cold. It's going to wax cold. Then it goes on to say what? Christ went on to say what?
It says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
But the person whose love endures to the end, that person is going to be saved. Their love endures in the midst of, let's get St. John again,
1335. St. John. St. John chapter 13, verse 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another.
Now, in the midst of the whole world getting more cold, the whole world getting more self-centered, the whole world getting more self-righteous, how's it going to be recognized, according to St. John 13:35, who the disciples are?
If you got love toward another.
You keep giving that love. Keep giving that love. Keep giving that charity. Keep giving yourself. In the midst of the world that is saying, that's dumb, that's foolish. Why are you doing that? You got to do for self. You got to do for you. Let's get Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. Let's get Philippians chapter 2, verse 15.
Still holding Acts.
Yes, still holding Acts. Let's get Philippians chapter 2, verse 15.
Philippians chapter 2, and verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of the Most High, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world.
Let's start at...
We'll start at 14.
12. Okay. 12. Even better, Shalma. Even better.
Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence.
Yeah, we're supposed to be obeying. Not just because people are around. But we're supposed to obey even more in absence of people not being around. Read.
Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Read.
For it is the Most High which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Now, I'm glad you had this start at verse 12. Because as Christ's disciples, is this about doing our own pleasure or doing the Most High's pleasure? But in this cold world, there's gonna be more things pushing us towards self pleasure. It's gonna be more things about doing things that make me feel good about me. I don't feel good in doing the things that make the Most High happy. Because in doing those things that makes the Most High happy, I got to give.
I lose.
It seems like I lose out.
Okay.
I got to put others first. I can't just roll the way I want to roll and what makes me feel good. And I'm trying to reach this goal and reach this plateau or whatever it might be that makes me happy. That is the American mentality. Why are there same-sex marriages now?
That's what made people happy.
Because that's what makes people happy. Is that about the Most High's pleasure?
No.
No. They are feeling complete. Me having sex with this other man, that makes me feel complete. So I'm doing what makes me feel happy. I'm doing what gives me a sense of belonging. I'm doing what makes me feel a sense of completeness. The Most High's pleasure? No, I'm not with that. The Most High says, I can't, in my pleasure, what's wrong with loving somebody? If this person loves me and I love them, then that's your problem. Two hot dogs in a bun? I don't see no problem with that. There's nothing wrong with that because it makes me feel complete. I feel love. So I really don't care about what pleases the Most High. With his pleasure is far from my mind right now. And I'm using an extreme, I'm trying to use an extreme example that people really are getting to the point where it really is about how they feel and long separated from what is the Most High's good pleasure. What makes the Most High feel good? And then the question has got to be, why don't we feel good giving the Most High pleasure? If this is something as simple as don't eat pork, because that pleases the Most High, why would a person then be upset that they can't eat pork? Why would they be so hell-bent? No, I'm gonna do me. I like it. I like eating this. I'm going to do this. So this is what I'm doing, whether y'all like it or not. Whether Most High, that's his problem then. I don't see this as a problem. I like it. It makes you feel good. So this is what I'm doing. But as far as not even being awoken to the knowledge, I'm supposed to be a Hebrew Israelite. And in being a Hebrew Israelite, I'm supposed to be doing the Most High's good pleasure. What makes the Most High feel good? You know, when we as disciples in training, do we find scriptures that make us feel good about what we're doing, or do we find scriptures about what makes the Most High feel good? Well, do we?
No. We find scriptures that make I will speak from self-reflection. You find scriptures that make you feel good. I find scriptures that make me feel good so that I could continue to bear. But I should be able to find scriptures on what the Most High deems as good and take the joy in that.
Let's hold this. I'm with you on that. Let's get Psalm 51:16. Let's get Psalm 51:16.
Psalm chapter 51:16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it.
Right.
Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of the Most High are a broken spirit.
What sacrifice does the Most High want?
A broken spirit.
For you to break yourself. If we're going back to NWA days or what have you, break yourself, fool, break yourself. That's what makes the Most High feel happy. You breaking your spirit. You break you. You're breaking your pleasure. You're breaking your life. You're sacrificing your way of doing things. That is what gives the Most High pleasure. But in the midst of the world that we're living in today, it's not about that. It's about if as long as it makes you feel good, that's all that matters.
Feels good, do it.
If it feels good, do it.
You know, you
taking that pagan philosophy, do what thou wilt.
Do what thou wilt. Does it make you feel good?
Then
do it. Well, then what's the problem? It's all about you. Do what you like. It's all about how you feel and how you, if it makes you comfortable or not. This world really pushes that spirit. And it's not about doing those things that please the Most High. It's, I'll do it to please the Most High if I feel comfortable doing it. If it's convenient for me. As long as it doesn't interfere with what I got going on, then cool, I can do it. I'll do it then. If it doesn't interfere with my life goals, my life plans, and the direction I've already set myself into and where I'm going. But to break myself, nah. I don't see that. But it's not understood that that is the mentality of America. That's the mentality of the devil. Do what pleases you, not what pleases the Most High. To break my spirit, my will, myself, that pleases the Most High. That's acceptable with the Most High. But that means I might go against me. That's why America pushes so hard about what? Follow your dreams. Or they'll say something like, well, what does your heart tell you? Well, you got to follow your heart, which should be checked by what scripture? Jeremiah 17:5.
Okay.
Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 5. Thus said the Lord, cursed be the man.
No, nine, I'm sorry.
God. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked.
So what's the Most High's idea, or Most High's perspective about our hearts?
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked.
And desperately wicked. Thirsty. The thought. T-H-O-T. To do wickedness. And what's the wickedness? It's not about doing the Most High's pleasure. It's about doing my pleasure. How else could you get same-sex marriages passed? How else could you get marijuana legalized across the country? How else could you get, you know, that mother and son there in Clovis that are sexually attracted to each other and they got a scientific name for it? This world is pushing that spirit. Do what you like. It's all about you. Hell, if you go away, James Brown shit. I get the feeling. It's about catering to my feelings. But it's not about doing the research, doing the studies, what pleases the Most High. And let me now adjust to what pleases the Most High, that I might be his disciple. That instead of getting more cold and more distant, that no, I understand that that's a spirit, and I got to overcome that spirit. I got to fight that. That in the midst of this world, that's all this world is going to push. don't give. Don't give until you are satisfied. Don't give until it's again, it's about you.
There was an old song when you said until you're satisfied. It's a song that says whatever you want, do it. Do it till you're satisfied.
Yeah, go ahead and do it. Do it. Do it. You satisfied? Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
I was like, but that just popped into my head because I was like, and they go from every facet to push the agenda. So that what? The love will wax cold. It becomes self-preservation.
Yeah. When like when a man watches a lot of porn. And now he's like any habit. His porn watching has got his body into the habit of it's just about his pleasure. It's just about him. So now he gets with a partner, and it's not about what these two share. It's not about what they share emotionally. It's not about what they share spiritually. It's just complete, straight physical. Now, this same man now gets married. Quote-unquote gets married. What has he been practicing this whole time? Self-pleasure.
Self-indulgence.
So now when his partner, now let's cuddle. Let's hold me. Talk to me.
None of that.
Take the time to find out about my day. That the extra. Now this man gets what? Irked? Pissed off?
That stuff I gotta go do that.
She's too needy.
Yep.
She's too clingy. Come on, when a man has got thoughts to say about, should I get jack off or go deal with my woman?
There's no work involved.
I ain't gonna toss one off. She's right upstairs. I go ahead and engage her and do for her and then get mine. But that's going to be a lot of fucking work. I'm going to just toss one. So I go ahead and just, I'm stressed. I'm going through what I'm going through. Let me finish this so I can be about my business. In the Zondervan, you got your Zondervan?
Yeah.
Look up marriage.
Oh, I got this highlighted.
Try.
I believe I know exactly where you're going.
I know you. Time.
Yeah, okay. Marriage is an intimate, personal union to which a man and woman consent, consummated, and continuously nourished by sexual intercourse.
That it's continuously what?
Nourished.
It's nourished. Their relationship is nourished by what?
Sexual intercourse.
Because it's the give and take. It's the give and take in that relationship that helps build and keep it strong. It's not the only thing, but it's I'm feeling you. You're feeling me. I'm giving to you. To where... Again, when we take a look at the Hebrew Israelite culture, in Hebrew Israelite culture, a man never had to worry about the size of his manhood. That was never an issue. Because there was never a need for cunnilingus, analingus, fellatio. There's never a need for this type of sexual perversions. Because the climax didn't come from the actual sex. The climax came from these two connecting with each other. So it had nothing to do with the size of his manhood. It was how well could he get inside her head? How well could they become one in the mind? To where that connection, almost like Avatar, when they were, you know, the tails were connected, whatever the hell. That connection, that no one else can make that connection. So we didn't have to worry about someone else coming and taking my woman. The mental, emotional, and spiritual connection that we made, it'd be impossible for another man to come. It'd be impossible for another man to come and be able to take my possession. Because it wasn't about the size of the manhood. And now, all it takes is somebody with more manhood than me, that now my woman's susceptible to go to him. That was never a Hebrew Israelite culture. There was a courtship. There was a courtship process that took place where these two got to know each other before there was any sexual intercourse. The sexual intercourse came because they was already so connected mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. The only way this woman could unite with this man anymore is now physically let this man be physically inside of her. What you just read said, the marriage was consummated. The word consummate means complete. The marriage was completed with sex, not started. The marriage didn't start with sex. It says it was consummated. It was completed with sex. What was completed? The connections. Spiritual, mental, emotional. Those were already there. Now the only other way this woman could give herself any more to this man is now, and that's why a woman can only lose her virginity once. At this man you lose your virginity to. That's why it's painful. That's why there's blood. It's a blood covenant. It's a blood covenant. We are one. And that's why it's painful. Like, make sure. You better make sure that this is the one. Because you can only lose your virginity once. Make sure he's the one. Make sure that's why in the Hebrew Israelite culture, daughters, you had to go to the daughter's father. You had to. That was a sacred thing. Because she can only lose her virginity one time. So it was the father got a chance to check out this dude that was trying to take my daughter. Is he going to make her happy? Is she going to be happy with him? Are they compatible? Is this an infatuation or is this love? White snake, right?
Is this love
that I'm feeling? Could this be love that I've been searching for? Is this love? Hey, Manzano. 1987, I'm here in Mexico. Is this really love? Or is it just an infatuation? You just want to bounce on top of my daughter and then you're going to leave? You just want to get your jollies off. And you're going to dip? Hell no. Because now I got to take care of this. I got to take care of her bleeding heart. Now, she's getting more cold and develops a hatred towards men. As she gets more cold and develops a hatred towards the children that you left her with. Because she looks at them, it reminds her of how stupid she was. That she even gave you a chance. So now her love gets cold. this the cycle that we're supposed to keep going? How many it's a rhetorical question. How many people wish they had a better connection with their parents? Had a better connection with their mother. But whenever the mom looked at you, your existence reminds her of her mistakes. The fact you're here reminds her she got with the wrong MF. Reminds her how stupid and naive she was. She might look at her, the mother might look at her daughters, and all the daughters do is remind her of what? Herself.
Yeah, I'm not going to let her make the same mistakes I made.
Or I'm just cold. I don't care. Just live your life. I don't give a damn. Nobody give a damn about me, so I don't give a damn about nobody else. Figure it out on your own. We're living in a very cold world. Where everybody does is go for their own pleasure. We're holding Philippians 2. We got Acts. 2 Timothy. Did we finish Psalms?
15, Psalms 51. I thought we did, because after that we went to Jeremiah 17 and 9.
Let's finish Psalms 51:17. It's going to be chapter 3.
Psalms, chapter 51 and verse 16. But thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of the Most High are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise.
Do we as Hebrew Israelites examine what spirit I'm in? Or is it just because I feel that that's all there is? Didn't 1 John 3 and 1, 4 and 1 tell us to try the spirits? To see if they really are the Most High?
Yeah.
Do you really go and search out, why am I feeling this way? Is this really from the Most High? Or is it just because I'm feeling it, that's all there is? And I mean, from Revelations 18, it tells you that this place was going to be the hold of every unclean and foul spirit. That there's unclean and foul spirits all over this place. This is Babylon, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. There's all types of unclean, foul spirits in this place. So you get a feeling. Is it really an examination of, is this from the Most High? Is this spirit really from the Most High? Is this feeling from the Most High? Or is it just, I feel it and that's all there is? Done. Unclean spirits jump like frogs. So they get this feeling. Is this an unclean spirit? Or is it what? I had this thought, I had this dream, I had this feeling, and boom, I followed it. Not one time I stopped and said, hold on, wait a minute. Is this really the Most High or not? Is this how the Most High gets down? Is this how the Most High does things? Is this really the Most High's pleasure? Or is it just about, I got a feeling? And that's all the proof I needed. That's all the reference I needed.
That's playing with it.
Done. Not realizing that that's a cold spirit. Not realizing that's a distancing spirit. Not realizing, no, that is not of the Most High. That was Psalm 51, right?
Yeah.
The sacrifice of Messiah, a broken spirit.
Yeah.
A broken and contrite heart, O Yahweh, thou wilt not despise. For you to break yourself, that does not, Messiah does not hate the fact that you break yourself. He loves the fact you break yourself. A broken and contrite heart. We know the heart's talking about what?
The mind.
The mind. It's your mind is broken. Your thoughts, your plans, your dreams, your goals, the fact they get broken. The Most High don't despise that. Whereas the world today would teach and push what? If it goes against what you're feeling, goes against your heart, then no, that can't be of God. God wants you to be happy. Let's get 2 Timothy 3 and 1.
2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves.
Do we examine this as a spirit? As a foul spirit. Real quick. Everybody, let me take a quick 2-minute break.
The righteous judgment of the Most High, who will render unto every man according to his deeds, to them who by patience continue in some well-doing seek the glory and honor and immorality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath.
Great Luke,
you an African American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga with back?
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they gon' say it?
Nope.
We gon' expose them.
Yep.
They gon' take your life?
Nope.
So many secrets in the vault?
Yep.
Do this knowledge count?
Nope.
Hop in the book to mine?
Yep.
Do we follow these laws?
Nope.
Do they still exist?
Yep.
Have time to wait?
Nope.
Do we have grace?
Yep.
Continue in sin?
Nope.
I'ma ask you again.
Yep.
Should we continue in sin?
Nope.
Christ is the way. Never gonna win.
Nope.
Trying to make it to heaven.
Yep.
Get there by sin.
Nope.
Follow the commandments.
Yep.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so why keep on trying? Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path to save your soul. Never going back.
No.
Forward to the kingdom.
Nope.
Ready to lift your hands?
Yep.
Amen. Everybody got choice. so why keep on trying? Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and save your soul. Never going back.
No, no, no.
Forward to the kingdom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gonna choose the most higher states on
to choose
whose light to choose from. You got to choose one. Who you gonna choose? Who you gonna choose?
Should I live a simple life?
Nope.
Should I repent and be baptized?
Yeah.
Will Amalek ever be nice?
Nope.
Was our Savior crucified?
Yeah.
Does this world love the most high?
Nope.
Is the wicked gonna burn?
Yeah.
Will he fall forever?
Nope.
Will we ever get our turn?
To choose from, you got to choose one. Who you gonna choose the most? I see it's hard
to choose.
Whose side to choose from? You got to choose one. Who you gonna choose? Who you gonna choose?
Got to choose.
Romans 2 and 5,
nope.
The righteous judgment of the Most High, who will
yep.
render unto every man according to his
nope.
deeds, to them who by patience continue
yep.
in some well-doing seek,
nope.
for glory and honor and immorality,
yep.
eternal life. But unto them that are
nope.
contentious and do not obey the
yep.
truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath.
Oh, my.
Frank Lucas.
Yep. You an African-American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga with back?
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they gon' tell us?
Nope.
We gon' expose them?
Yep.
Yeah.
They gon' take your life?
Nope.
So many secrets in the vault?
Yep.
Do this knowledge cost?
Nope.
Hop in the book to my?
Yep.
Do we follow these laws?
Nope.
Do they still exist?
Yep.
Have time to wait?
Nope.
Do we have grace?
Yep.
Continue in sin?
Nope.
I'ma ask you again.
Yep.
Should we continue in sin? Christ is the way.
Yep.
Devil gon' win.
Nope.
Tryna make it to heaven.
Yep.
Get there by sin.
Nope.
Follow the commandments.
Yep.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so why keep on trying? Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and save your soul. Never going back.
No, no, no.
Forward to the kingdom.
Yep.
Where we at? Where we leave off at?
We were starting on 2 Timothy 3 and 1.
Yeah, let's get that again. Welcome back, everybody. Sorry about that. We had to take care of some quick camp business that was pertinent at the time. So forgive us for that little delay. What we was going over before that little break and intermission was if the scriptures tell us that this place, maybe I need to get that real quick. Let's go to Revelation chapter 18, verse 1. Let's go to Revelation chapter 18, verse 1. The Most High tells us, as we're going to read it, in 1 John 3 and 1, he tells us, try the Spirit, or it's 4 and 1. Try the Spirit, whether it be of the Most High or not. That the things that we get affected by, the feelings, the thoughts, the dreams, the emotions, are those really of the Most High? Or is that a condition or a spirit that's an unclean spirit that's been released in this society? All right. So what we have, Revelation chapter 18, verse 1. If we start
Revelation chapter 18, verse 1. And after these things,
I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils.
This place known as Babylon the Great. Now, we know ancient Babylon, for the Tower of Babel, is where the Most High God's confusion of the languages. That everybody's language, they were babbling and couldn't understand each other. This place, and it was a place of confusion. That's what the word Babel means, confusion. So there's a place that he calls the place of great confusion, and that is fallen. Right? And he's telling you that this place where there's great confusion. Now, if we look, just like the ancient Tower of Babel had all nations gathered together, speaking their own, having their languages separated, what place on the planet Earth you have every nationality of people gathered together, speaking their own language, and about their own culture, and about their own traditions?
Only in America.
Only in America.
America.
That's why you have a Chinatown, a Koreatown, Little Manila,
Sons of Samoa.
That's why you got a little Ukraine, a little Italy. That's why you have a little Russia. That's why you got Gypsies, Romania. You find little sections of Haitians, little sections of Jamaicans. That there's only one place in the world, and part of what the Sun of Statue of Liberty is: give me your poor, your sick, the great melting pot. That's America, where you got a lot of confusion. You can literally worship and do whatever the hell you want to do. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion. That's a bunch of confusion. There's no place like that, like America. That describes no place but America. But it tells you that this place, where there's great confusion, has become the habitation of what? Devils. What is a devil? A deceiver. It's the habitation. If you want to be deceived, this is the place you come to be deceived. This place you come to where you can literally get involved with whatever you want to with no repercussions. It's the land of the free. You can find a society, a club, something to tickle your fancy. Whatever it might be, it can be done here in America. And he's telling us it's the habitation of devils. It's the habitation of nothing but deceit. Read on, please.
Devils. And the hold of every foul spirit.
The hold. The cage of what?
Every foul spirit.
What's the word every mean? All. If you can think of, if you can picture or imagine or think about a foul spirit, guess where you can find it at? Here in America. So again, do we really take the time to examine the thoughts and the feelings, the dreams, the emotions that we are hit by? How do you know they're sent by the Most High? When he's telling you that there's a place that is the hold of every foul spirit. It cannot be enough that just because you feel it. That can't be the only measure. That can't be the only warning sign. That can't be the only roadblock. Why'd you do that? Because I felt it. What? That's all it took? Because you felt it. Where are you arming your mind to fight your thoughts, to do that thing that pleases the Most High? Just because you had this dream or this feeling cannot be enough. That can't be the only standard, the only measure. Well, I felt it, so that, okay. That can't be it. Now when he's telling us, giving these warnings, there's a place on the planet Earth that is the hold of every foul spirit. Do you know the scripture about unclean spirits? Frogs? You know what's that? It's in Revelations. Read this again for me, native son.
Revelations 18 and 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, the great, is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils.
It's become the habitation. What's the habitation?
A place where people live.
A place where things live.
Revelation
16? It sounds like it. It's the place where things live. So what lives in this place?
Devils.
Deceivers. Deception. Delusion. It's the habitation.
So I looked up Babel. It says confusion, disorder.
That's what Babylon means, Khan. It's a place of confusion and disorder. You can do what you like, when you like, how you like. Reading on.
And the hold of every foul spirit.
Now, what scripture you got for me?
That Revelation 16 and 13?
Yep. That sounds exactly like it.
It reads, and I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet.
Now, it tells you that this place, or it tells you, an unclean spirit. There's a lot more to this scripture, but what we want to focus on right now is an unclean spirit moves like what?
Like frogs.
Like frogs.
What's that scripture again?
16:13 Revelation.
Gotcha. So take this in consideration. That unclean spirits are like frogs. They jump. Like the movie Fallen, if you saw it with John Goodman and Denzel Washington. Unclean spirits jump like frogs. Now, in Revelation 18 and 2, it said what?
Revelation 18 and 2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit.
The hold of every foul spirit. So what are these foul spirits, these unclean spirits doing?
Jumping.
They jump like frogs. So, with that being the case, are you really examining yourself to try to really see what spirit is on me right now? Knowing unclean spirits jump like frogs. What you got?
You know, for those who are listening and are trying to identify the different spirits, these different spirits that are jumping like frogs. So in Galatians 5 and 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication,
Adultery. That the unclean spirit of adultery is jumping in this place. Would Jerry Springer have a career if it wasn't for he bringing out how somebody slept with my woman?
No.
My brother slept with my girl. My uncle slept with my girl. My son slept with my woman. My sister slept with my woman.
You know, it's funny. I was watching something this morning about that. This man went to court, brother. Went to court, he met this white singer in a club or bar or something, fell in love with her, courted her for 3 years, proposed to her with a ring, but he was a ghost watcher, so he set up cameras in his house, found out she slept with his 16-year-old son, and then had a baby, and then was about pawning the ring. But anyways, long story short, that spirit is there.
It's here. Ain't no fun. If the homies can't have none, going all the way back, you gonna go back a little bit? We don't love these hoes. The spirit of adultery is jumping and manifesting in this place. So when you want to deal with this woman or deal with this dude, what spirit is that? Is that from the Most High? Or is that an unclean spirit that's in this place? That's the hold of this place. It says, he that looketh after a woman and lusts after her has committed adultery in his heart.
Already.
So if you're looking at a woman just for that sexual conquest, just for lust, is that from the Most High or is that in the spirit of adultery? That's what?
That's that flesh and ease.
That flesh and ease, right? Kind. Are we examining? Or is it just, I got a feeling? If we ain't careful, in this place, the spirit of adultery is strong. And it's jumping on everybody. Why else do you have all these dating sites raising up the way? Come on, Christian Mingle. Israelite Mingle.
Like jumbo shrimp.
Right, Tinder.
Black Singles Meat.
Black Singles Meat. Plenty of Fish. Really?
Tinder Run. I mean Tinder.
Tinder. Match.com. That is the spirit of adultery. I get around. That's the spirit of adultery. Don't kiss that. I effed her. You loved her. That's the spirit of adultery. Damn, every Nelly song is adultery. Shirley Murdoch, if you remember her breakout single back in the day, it was dealing with what? Adultery. To the left, to the left. Adultery. That spirit is here, and it jumps. So when you get this feeling about this person, about this dude, or about this girl, what spirit are you dealing with? You said adultery. What else?
Adultery. It reads in Galatians 5 and 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness.
What is fornication?
Fornication.
Man. Promiscuous sex? Adultery, fornication, what else?
Uncleanness.
Just being unclean. Doing nasty, filthy shit, and it's mischievous. It's the mischief. It's enticing. Gets the heart pumping. The cloak and dagger. I know this is wrong, but if loving you is wrong, then I don't want to be right. It's just something about just being sneaky. It's just something about just being devilish. With a little bump and grind.
Just a little.
While this nigga's peeing on you.
Well, you know that right now, allegedly, but not really. She's running a sex cult. And he's getting charges out the ding-yang.
I believe it.
these youngsters are charging with these cases from back in the day.
I believe it. I believe it 100%.
And it makes sense with all his songs on what the content was about. You remind me of something. I don't see nothing wrong. Come on now. Seems like you're ready.
Right. I know you're 11, but seems like you're ready.
Oh, shit. That ain't right.
Seems. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness. This, come on. To get peed on? That want to pee on somebody sexually entices you. And to get peed on sexually entices you. That's not unclean.
You are toiling.
Taking it to an extreme, just doing mischievous, sneaky shit. For the rush of it. I'm doing something, getting away with it. That unclean spirit is here. Do we recognize these spirits as spirits, or is it just feelings and I go with it? Uncleanness? What else?
Uncleanness. Lasciviousness.
Lasciviousness. Extreme sexual desires. Crazy sexual desires. How much Viagra or Extends or Black Rhinos or Street Overlord? How many of these pills got to be sold over the counter? With the promise of sex. What else we got?
Idolatry.
Idolatry. Are you worshiping yourself? Have you made yourself an idol? There's something that you look up to that you're trying to strive for that's not the Most High. The things you sacrifice to achieve a certain status, and you're trying to achieve that status, what sacrifice are you making to get there? And have you made that an idol? As opposed to, what sacrifices are you making for the Most High to achieve the Most High? Read on, sir.
It reads, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft,